Hey, you guys, welcome back to Tomes of Terror. This week, I wanted to talk about a book that I had seen recommended on a whole bunch of different BookTubers channels that I had been watching, looking for recommendations. And when I first got interested in reading it and ordered it off Amazon, I didn't actually realize that this book is actually quite old. The first publication was 1981, and it got reissued in 2014. I also didn't realize that the author, Michael McDowell, had quite a pedigree, had written a lot of books in the early 80s, like during the kind of golden age of paperback horror fiction, where, there were really a lot of good authors publishing. And also, he wrote the original screenplay for Beetlejuice and also for The Nightmare Before Christmas, I believe. So, this is a guy that should have been on my radar and sadly was not, but I guess that's been rectified now. Sadly, many years after he passed away. I believe he passed away in 1999. So the book that I want to talk about, and this is the first one of his that I've ever read, is called The Elementals. Now, this is a Southern Gothic horror. And so know that going into it. It's very Tennessee Williams, very Flannery O'Connor, like that kind of vibe, except maybe more overtly horror, although it doesn't get really, really overtly like scary and with horrific images and stuff until the end. As I said on my previous videos, I'm gonna try not to spoil too much of anything, but it's kind of hard to talk about a book if you can't talk about some aspects of it that may seem spoilery. So if you want to come into this book completely blind, which I would suggest, actually, then maybe like turn this off, go read it. It's not very long, it's only about 200 pages. Then none of the big like surprises or anything like that will be spoiled for you. Now, interestingly, this reissue came out in 2014. I guess Vanincourt Books, the publisher, they've been publishing like a lot of fiction from that era. Like they're kind of plucking out a lot of the, paperback horror that came out around that time, like kind of the best examples of it, and are reissuing it with, nice introductions and new covers and all this other kind of stuff, which is really cool, and I'm really glad that they're doing that because so much horror fiction came out like in the late 70s and early 80s, and there was a lot of good stuff, but just like when there's a glut of anything, there was a lot of bad stuff too. So it's nice to have this kind of curated, I guess, these authors and all these stories that they thought were like worthy of like publication. Now, this one, like I said, Michael McDowell was actually, and it says right here on the cover, one of the finest writers of paperback fiction, and that's a quote from Stephen King. Like I said, this is very Southern Gothic. So I guess Michael McDowell is from Alabama, and this story is set in Alabama. I guess I've heard that all of his, stories are not, but this one definitely is. And I feel like, the atmosphere, the Alabama-ness of this story is like really a big part of its appeal, because I feel like the place becomes pretty much its own character. Like, the way this really weird place where most of the story takes place, and just this bizarre like Gulf Coast island essentially with like all this sand and stuff, but it's really, really crazy. So the story is there are these two Southern families, the McCrays and the Savages, and I believe they're related by marriage. They're also like all friends with each other. I guess they're kind of old money, like from Mobile, Alabama. They own like big businesses and everything. So they live in these two kind of mansions in Mobile, which is where they run their businesses. But there's also these vacation homes that they have in this place called Belldom, I guess is how you would pronounce it. And it's on the Gulf Coast of Alabama. And it's basically like this little like slip of beach, like a little slip of land. And it has three identical Victorian houses on it. Now, one of the houses is owned by the Savage family. One of the houses is owned by the McCrae family. The third house, which is how it's referred to through the entire story, apparently either no one owns it or no one knows who owns it. But as the story goes on, you discover that everyone is afraid of the third house, but they won't really say why. So when the story opens, like in the prologue, the kind of matriarch of the Savage family, Marion Savage, she has died. So basically, the opening scene is like her funeral. So, during the course of this funeral, you get like all this extended family, and they're all like really Southern eccentric, like type of characters. It's really weird because they're realistic, but then not realistic at the same time, if that makes any sense. Like, I grew up in the South, not Alabama, but I grew up in Florida. And a lot of my relatives were like from Tennessee and from other southern states. So it's like, I don't really think, I mean, from my point of view, these characters are not really that much of an exaggeration. My parents weren't like old, my family wasn't like old money or anything like that. So I'm sure that has their own, a whole other set of eccentricities to go along with it. But it is kind of overdone for like a kind of comedic effect because this almost has almost a little bit of a black comedy kind of vibe to it, at least in the beginning, like as I feel like in the end it kind of goes in a horrific direction. But so there's a funeral for Marion Savage, who was apparently, you don't meet her like in the course of the book because she's already dead, but from what other people say about her, you get the impression that she was kind of horrible and that she was just like this, overbearing, like kind of mean, woman. So they're all at the funeral, and then there's this really weird ritual that apparently they have at every time one member of this family dies, somebody has to do this like at the funeral. I'm not gonna say what it is because I was just like reading it going, what the fuck is going on? It's like they explain why later on, but it's like I just love how the book, even from the prologue, it just kind of immerses you in this bizarre, these kind of bizarre rituals and these like really weird, like quirky Southern characters, this like weird family. But the family are not like, they're not off-puttingly weird. They're like, you can get into the characters and their interactions with each other, their dialogues are like very funny. So after the funeral, they all decide that they're going to take kind of like a vacation or take a break. To kind of get away from the homestead, where Marion lived and everything. So it's like, so we're gonna go to Beldam and stay at the houses like over the summer. Now, many of the relatives and relations of this family have been staying at this place since they were kids. Like, they would go there every summer. It was kind of a tradition. And the weird thing about the place is that you kind of forget about it when you're not there, but then it's like when you get there, it's like it's scary kind of and creepy and oppressive and weird, but then like you don't want to leave. It's almost like this weird like hypnotic spell that it has over you kind of. It's like they don't go super into that, but that's kind of like a background thing that's going on. So now we're mostly seeing it's written like kind of it's just narrated. It's not like inside anyone's head or anything like that. But mostly, you're getting the perspective of one of the sons, one of the McRae sons, Luker, and he has a 13-year-old daughter named India. Now, he grew up in Alabama, and he had been to Beldam as a kid, but when he got older, like he moved to New York City. So India, I don't think, I mean, she's only 13 and her mom has taken off and they talk about how much she sucks and everything like that. She doesn't really figure into the story all that much. So India, I don't believe has ever been to Alabama. She's for sure never been to Beldam because she is like fascinated by it when she gets there. So she's never been to Alabama. She's only known New York City. And she's very, even though she's only 13, she's very precocious. And I think one of the funniest things about this book is that India and Luker are their father and daughter, and you can tell that they are very fond of each other and they love each other and everything, but their interactions with each other are just very, very funny. They're almost like the same age friends. Like, Luker, they make like no bones at all about him taking speed or whatever, and him, I don't know if he ever gave her any, but he doesn't hide it from her. And it's like she knows about all his pills. And, if she's upset, he'll give her some scotch or something like that. And they like swear at each other. So they seem almost like the same age rather than father and daughter, but not in a weird way. Like it actually works out. And I think like the relationship between the two of them is one of the best things in the book. And India and Michael Rowe, who wrote the what do you call it, the introduction for this edition, he wrote Enter Night, I believe, among other things. He compared India, he's like, you can see in her character the seeds of Lydia Dietz from Beetlejuice. And you definitely can, because this is the same, even though she's a bit younger than Lydia was, but she's very snarky. She's very, you know, sophisticated because she grew up in the city and now she's like in this podunk like place in Alabama, but she's kind of fascinated by it too. Plus she's like very into photography and stuff. So, and she's also kind of fascinated with morbid things. And even when weird shit starts to happen at the houses, she doesn't, it's almost kind of like she believes it, but not. A lot of the, you know, the shit in the book is kind of from her point of view. So it's almost a little bit from an outsider perspective, because most of the other people in the family have been to Beldam before. So they're kind of a little bit more familiar with it. So they get down there. Now it turns out, like I said, the two houses that are owned by the families, so they each stay in their respective houses. But the third house, which, like I said, they don't really know who owns it, and that's the only way they refer to it, nobody lives in there and hasn't for a very long time, and it's being slowly consumed by sand. So when they get there, like after the funeral, there's basically like a dune that is like kind of covering most of the house. And the only way that you can look in some of the upper windows is to basically like climb up the dune and like look in there. So of course, India ends up doing that and she sees something. Now, as I said, this is a very, I want to call it literary horror, because like I said, it's a little more on the literary side than kind of more on the pulp side. There's just something really unsettling and like hypnotic about it. It takes a while to get going, even though it's quite short. It's just like there's all this character development and stuff, and things just happen very, very slowly. It's like, but you can picture in your head like them being in Alabama on the Gulf Coast in the summer, and it's just oppressively hot. And the way he describes it is like very, very accurate, because like I said, Florida. So, you know, it's I know all about the humidity and everything. And the way he described it was like really made you feel it. So you really kind of feel like you're there. And then just this really unsettling image of being in these two big Victorian houses and looking out the window and seeing a third one that just a sand dune is like slowly overtaking it. And so that's kind of like creepy enough. But then as it goes on, you know, there's just little things that start to happen. Like India climbs up the dune and like looks in the window of one of the upper floors, and she sees a door close, even though no one's supposed to be in there. And then she sees other things like kind of sand coming in there and like forming into things, and like stuff like that starts to happen. And then kind of, so it goes on for a long time like that. And then like the last probably quarter of the book, it just goes batshit crazy. Like all the stuff that they're seeing in there, and you get to find out, I don't want to say you get to find out exactly what's going on in the house, because it's left kind of ambiguous. Like they sort of explain it, but sort of not. But in a way, I kind of like that they left it ambiguous, because it's like, this is like a haunted house story, but it's not really ghosts. You know what I mean? It's not like ghosts in the traditional sense of like, oh, it's a dead person that's, you know, rattling around in there. It's not even like a poltergeist type of thing. It's something different. And if you know what an elemental is, then you'll get kind of the gist. But one thing that I did like about that was that because these were a different kind of spirit, or a different kind of monster, or a different kind of, you know, antagonist, or whatever you want to call it, you didn't really know what the rules were. Like you didn't know how to get rid of it. You didn't know it was going to work on it. And they kind of go into this a lot, because one of the characters, Odessa Red, who is actually their African-American maid, has been with like the family for a very long time. And she kind of knows what the things are. And she kind of knows like some things that might stop them or some, but even she admits to India later on, she's like, well, you know, they're not ghosts and there's not like any rules, so it's like something that works on them today, like to fight them off, might not work on them tomorrow, because they're just constantly fucking with you. So in a way that was good, because it made it more, I guess it makes it more scary in a way, because you don't really know, like there's nothing really that you can do about it, because you're not really sure what they are or what they can do, or, you know, if there's anything you can do against them, or if you're just fucked or whatever. So I liked that aspect of it a lot. Like I said, I think the only thing, I don't know, I don't know if I would call this a criticism necessarily because it didn't really bother me when I was reading it, but it does, like I said, it does seem like it kind of goes on and it's not slow, but it's, it's just very deliberate, like the way it's built up, and it's just like a little thing and a little thing and a little thing, and it's just like kind of these really unsettling images, but then it doesn't start getting like horrific until almost the end. So it almost kind of seems like, I don't want to say like the ending sounds seems rushed, because it doesn't really, but it does seem like, there's a lot of buildup, and then it's just like everything just goes crazy at the end. You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, your mileage may vary about that, but I mean, there's some really great, I mean, just not even like the image of the house being buried by sand, which is like creepy enough, like if you think about it. 'Cause like I said, I could picture this place like in my head, the way he was describing it, and it almost makes you feel like you're there, like the way he describes like how it smells and how it feels, like the heat and everything like that. So it was really, really evocative, like the writing is really evocative, and the character work is fantastic. Like, I really liked all the character interactions, particularly between Luker and India, but I also liked the character of Big Barbara, who was Luker's mom, and she was kind of like this old southern lady who was drunk all the time, and she was very funny. So there was, there's other characters and there's other little subplots that are less developed, but I think the three of them were kind of my favorite characters, and I really liked the scenes. And Odessa, of course, is, she was a really good character too. So probably four characters. Sorry about that. The interaction between the four of them, I think, was the best thing. But some of the other images in this, and like I said, I don't want to ruin it completely, like if you haven't read it, but there's just really great shit about like the sand forming into something, about this horrific baby. If you've read it, you know what I'm talking about. Like, if you really think about what this fucking thing looks like, it's horrifying. Also, the description of these things, the elementals, and the way that their eyes are like opposite. They're like black on the outside, but white on this. So, like, they have white pupils, but black. The whites of their eyes are black, which really kind of bothered me for some reason. One line that gets quoted from this a lot is actually from a parrot named Nails. The only thing that he ever says, actually, because one of the jokes is that the parrot never talks, but the one sentence that he says is, "Savage mothers eat their children up." Marion Savage's last name, that's one of the family's last names. But actually, the one line that I read in this, and you'd have to like read the whole book, like up to this point, I guess, like for this to like freak you out, but I actually read this line and it like actually made, when your blood runs cold, that actually happened, like when I was reading this, because I was like, ugh, because it just like weirded me out so much. But there's one great scene near the end, and like I said, it's a spoiler, 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 so if you don't want to like hear it, then turn it off or skip forward a couple minutes or something. But there was one great scene like near the end where Odessa and India are going to go into the third house and, try to fight it or try to stop the elementals, and Odessa basically says something like, "Oh, if something happens to me," or something like that. And she says to India, a 13-year-old girl, she says, "Eat my eyes." She tells her to eat her eyes. It's like what I, ooh, and I just like weirded out, like thinking about it again. And it's like there was a reason she said that. But just when I, because I didn't expect it, I guess when they were just having this discussion, like, man, we have to go to this house and we have to like fight the monsters and everything. But just the fact that she just came out of nowhere and said that, I don't know, it just really, really creeped me out. And like I said, there's a reason that it does actually like come to fruition later on, like why she said that. So this was actually a really great book. This is a great read. It really like put me in the place. It's very atmospheric. It's like you can really, and it's weird because it's a Southern Gothic, but it's not, it's not like rainy or cold or dark or anything like that. It's sunny and hot and oppressive, and it's like set on a beach. The houses are Victorian, but it really is kind of almost like a daylight horror type of thing. Also gave me a little bit, because there's a thing in it too where the houses are on this slip of land. And then after, when the tide comes in, you can't get off of the island because the water comes up too far. Like, you have to wait until the tide goes back out again. And that reminded me a little bit of Elmarsh House from The Woman in Black, which is another book that I will eventually get to review. I have seen the movie though, but I haven't read the book yet, but I do have it. So it did kind of remind me of that, where, you're just out on this island and you can't get off. So it's a very like oppressive, isolating kind of atmosphere, and like these people are kind of trapped here, and they're like, and for a long time you don't really know what the fuck is going on in that third house. Like, what the fuck is it? Is it a ghost? Is it, you don't really know. And like I said, at the end of the book, you still kind of don't really know, because they're not really a solid monster. They're, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like a nebulous idea. But I found that a lot creepier because, like I said, there weren't any rules about, oh, here's, it's a vampire, we'll stick a put a stake through its heart and it'll die. Right? So there's nothing like that, because they weren't really sure what they were, so they didn't really know how to fight them. So I really liked that aspect of it. But yeah, if you really like Southern Gothic, like I said, this is very Flannery O'Connor, there's like, William Faulknery kind of Tennessee Williamsy kind of thing, but with a more overt horror sensibility to it, like particularly towards the end, like there's some really like horrific imagery that's more befitting of, like a more traditional horror movie, I guess, if you want to say that. I would actually like to see this made into a film. I heard that one of his other books, Cold Moon Over Babylon, might have been made into a film, but I would have to check again on that. I just remember somebody saying that, and I don't know if this one ever has been, but I think this would actually make a really cool movie. I mean, I could just see like the sand in the house and the fucking horror baby and like all this other kind of shit. I think it would be really, really good. But yeah, so I'm definitely going to be reading more books by Michael McDowell, because this one was pretty damn fantastic. Like I said, the same guy that wrote the initial script for Beetlejuice, I believe it was rewritten because it was too dark, the one that he wrote. Which, if you read this, you'll kind of see, like, yeah, I get that. Like I said, he might have done Nightmare Before Christmas too. I'm not entirely sure, but that's what I heard. He passed away in 1999, unfortunately. But they have been, Vanacourt Books has released a whole bunch of his books that came out in the early 80s that were paperback originals. If so, now's a really good time to like catch up on his work, because I feel like there's kind of been a resurgence in popularity of his stuff, judging by the amount of reviews there are of his books online on various other book review channels. So I guess like a lot of people are rediscovering him, which is pretty fucking awesome. So yeah, The Elementals, check it out.